This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by KamerEducation.org. And here's your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta. I am your host, Marietta Kammerer. We are in the month of May already. Yes, May 1st was a big holiday in Europe, and time seems going faster and faster. Just amazing. Tonight we're talking about boundaries, and boundaries can be defined as limits we set with other people, which indicate what we find acceptable and unacceptable in their behavior towards us. Setting boundaries, people may not be aware that they're trespassing. Our boundaries need to match our behavior. Boundaries emerge as we learn to value, trust, and listen to ourselves. That sounds really good, and it's true. My guests tonight are Bob Waters, entrepreneur and business owner, and around 7:35, Julie Winter will join us. She's a psychotherapist. And she will join us around that time. She's also the author of DancingHomebook.com. You might want to check that out, but not now, because we just tuned in. We'd like you to stay with us. And before we get started, well, first of all, Bob Waters, I'd like to welcome you to the program.
Good evening, Marietta. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Enjoying May weather, you know, let's just put it that way. The winter is behind us and spring is here, so I'm very excited about that.
That sounds good. I believe you too. So I have a couple of announcements. As a matter of fact, the most important asset you have is, first of all, good health, the belief in your capabilities, and a healthy self-esteem. Expand your soft and hard skills. Call kmareducation.org, that's spelled like Kmart without the T, for consultation at 203-505-3660. So I am ready to go, Mr. Engineer. You just turned into Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta, and we are ready to start. And a really good topic tonight, boundaries. We all know about boundaries. And what we will discuss is, first of all, self-value, self-trust, and listening to yourself. Those are the core items that we're going to discuss tonight. Bob Waters is with me tonight. He's our friend and also Life Talk contributor. So, I'm asking everybody to practice self-value, value yourself. But if our self-esteem is very low, we have to look at that area first. We're not going to make it too technical tonight, but we get right to the points that we really need to look at. Because self-value, self-esteem, it goes hand in hand, just like building blocks. And what is self-esteem? I just like to mentioned that. Self-esteem is how we perceive ourselves. The feelings we get when we think about the way we look, how smart we are, and what our skills are. So I'd like to bring in my friend Bob Waters. How smart are you, Bob?
I consider myself pretty smart.
Me too. Me too. I know you're smart.
Thank you very much.
Do you think I'm smart?
You're very smart.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I had to get that out of you because I'd like to have some compliments too.
Absolutely. And I really don't think also this quote-unquote smart comes in many different ways. So for you and I, Marietta, our smarts complement each other. So where I have certain skills that, you know, maybe computer-related or technical in ways, I help bring those to the table to assist you, and then you have certain smarts that I don't have, and you kind of lend those to me when we work together. And I think that's the important thing that people need to know, is it's not a competition of who's smarter. It's more how do two people or a group of people use their smarts together,
right,
to reach the goal, and then everybody benefits, you know. So that's how I think smarts work. It's not really just one person or the other, but the combination.
I totally agree with you. I love smart people. I really, really do. Going back when growing up, this is a while back, a few decades, we didn't hear, I never heard the word self-esteem. I never even heard the word, didn't even know it existed. But in school, there were certain kids that were good students, very good students. Some were better in sports. And in different areas. So, and in my notes, Dr. Google says, one of the articles in 2017, the Department of Health showed, they did a study, and only 19% of girls in the sixth grade said that they feel confident. And then it plummeted to 6% by the time they hit the 10th grade. Are you kidding me? What kind of study are they conducting?
Well, this is part of a much larger topic that I don't know we can cover tonight, but I think a lot of that comes from the just inherent bullying that still happens in the school, even though, you know, we've had measures now for 10 years to try to prevent bullying. Kids still pick on each other. And, you know, Susie always thinks Jane is prettier and so and so. And if you're not part of the clique that everybody thinks is the most popular clique, then you consider yourself nobody. And that's a terrible thing that has existed, you know. You know, I don't know how we're going to change the school system and the dynamics of children in an hour.
Right.
That would be a pretty tough call, even for us. Okay. You know, so I think we should talk about the boundaries, like you say. But
I do want to say one thing. The kids did measure and do measure by how popular you are. And I wasn't popular at all.
Absolutely.
So at that time, nobody noticed me, you know?
Right. I was in a unique situation because some years I was popular and some years I wasn't. Some years I was the butt of all the jokes and everybody made fun of me and bullied me in a sense. But to me, that taught me how to have a thick skin and taught me how to verbally protect myself and, as we're talking tonight, set boundaries
right
with those people.
Now,
go ahead.
Well, I wanted
well,
to.
I was going to say, I don't think we need to remove all the quote unquote bullying in a sense, because even if we could wave a magic wand and remove it all, you know, that might sound great. But it's those interactions that do teach kids how to stand up for themselves. Except somebody does have to kind of teach the kid how to stand up for themselves verbally, not physically, because that's what our emotion does. And this is why, of course, there's still a lot of fights in school and all those kinds of things. But we have to be able to be smart enough to say something that disarms that bully, and you can walk away and the bully never bully you again. And it's a tough thing. You know, an 8-year-old can't just figure that out on his own, you know, but that's what the parents or perhaps school teachers and counselors are supposed to really, I think, teach the kid. When little Jimmy comes and says, "Hey, Timmy was picking on me," instead of the teacher just, you know, chastising one or the other, and, "Hey, don't do that." No, "Hey, Timmy, what did you say? Okay, well, here's what you should say back." And this to diffuse the situation and to basically, you know, bullies deserve a little bit of pushback. So, you know, to basically make the bully feel dumb or whatever, or to make the bully feel in a way like, well, okay, I'm not going to mess with this kid anymore because he's going to say something that's going to make me look stupid in front of my friends. So I'm going to go pick on somebody else, because that's what bullies do. Bullies always pick on the weaker kid. So when they sense weakness, the bullies will come. But if you stand up to them in a positive verbal way with, again, no violence, you know, then you can disarm that bully. And unfortunately, you're going to send that bully to somebody else. But eventually, the bully's going to get tired of having kids stand up for themselves, and hopefully the bully will stop bullying.
Right.
You know, or at least in school.
Right.
You know. So,
what I do want to mention is that nobody is born with a high self-esteem. That's just not possible. And I believe when you get real praise as you're growing, you know, growing to be an adult, you know, in your child and teen years, it will give you a jump start to a healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So also accomplishments in teen years will further deposit self-esteem. And it builds trust in your own capabilities, no matter what age. So this is just something. So then we're adults. And there are many, many adults out there that have not a healthy self-esteem. Let me just see. So when the kids grow up, they have role models they want to look like. In today's age, they really want to look like somebody specific. So they even have operations done because they do want to look a certain way. 50 years ago, we didn't have that. Everybody knows that. So,
right.
You know, so we're going for a break, a little music break, and then we're really diving into the boundaries.
Okay.
So slowly, and time can do so much. Are you still more? Speed your love to me.
We are diving. We're immersing ourselves right into the boundaries. And what comes to mind after this beautiful song, Emotional Boundaries. And I'll let you go first, Bob. What comes to mind when you hear Emotional. Yeah. What are emotional boundaries to you?
Emotional boundaries are definitely, you know, between you and sometimes your family, and you and sometimes and a partner or significant other. And even sometimes emotional boundaries can be found in the workplace, because, you know, we are human, and there are times that coworkers cross those boundaries, and we have to set those boundaries very clear, especially in management versus employee boundaries, and even not even necessarily going into the realm of sexual boundaries, but just emotions of if somebody comes in and is having a bad day, how do you treat that person? Do you, hey, don't have a bad day around here, put on a smile and get to work? Or do you respect that person's having a bad day and pull them aside and give them a little bit of a pep talk and try to help their how their bad day is going? Or some people come in and they're happy and all the time, and you can't ever bring them down. So I think emotional boundaries cover a wide range, where most people just think, oh, emotions, my emotions, or with a significant other. But it's all the people that affect how you feel during the day and the week, as far as happy, sad, you know, fearful, you know, positive, all those different types of emotions. And I think really, you know, getting to a place where, okay, you know, you're having a bad day, but you're going to go into work and just not show those emotions, because sometimes people will, your boss might chastise you or something like that, so you don't even feel like you can have that type of emotion in a workplace. But I think for the most part, you know, you have to have your own emotional boundaries of how you act at a given time, regardless of how you feel inside, because other people pick up on that. And if you're in telephone sales and you answer the call and you're in a bad mood, the customer's going to hear that without a doubt, and either not do business with you or just not be happy doing business with you. So there's a lot of times you have to adjust your emotional boundaries depending on where you're at a particular time. Mm-hmm. And that's tough for some people. You know, they bring that emotion to different places when necessarily they shouldn't, you know. Right. And then also, you know, the other side, you know, a person's happy when they're not at work, but when they get to work, they're all doom and gloom and unhappy. And that's not right either. They have to bring their normal, natural, happy self to work. And, you know, they say when you smile when you're speaking to a customer, they can actually, in a sense, hear that in your voice. So you have to change your boundaries, especially your emotional ones, depending on whether you're at work, home, school, with friends, or, you know, with family.
Right.
So that's emotional boundaries just in itself is a big one.
Yeah. And my notes are what came to mind with me. In other words, you're with a new partner, and you convey everything what your past has been, your entire life scenario with different partners. I don't agree with that.
I was going to say, if I did that, they would just leave after that, so it would be done.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with it. That'd be, the boundaries would have been set. No,
that doesn't
kidding.
Serve but, anything. Yeah. That doesn't serve anything, except the next time you argue, they hold it against you. But I like to tell
that too.
A story. A moment in time, I was newly married. And we went to Germany to go to France and visit my parents in Germany at that time. And I remember visiting my parents. Now, they were at my sister's place. And I was saying goodbye to my father. You know, we were leaving. They were living up in the third floor apartment, my sister. And my husband and I, we got into the car. And I'm looking up, and my dad was standing at the balcony, and I waved goodbye to him, and I knew in that moment, in that second, I knew I would never see him again, that he would die. Mm-hmm. I just knew it, and it totally upset me so much. I didn't communicate anymore. We got in the car, we started driving off, and my husband at the time, he just went on and on, what's wrong, this and that, and I couldn't talk. I couldn't say how I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And all I needed, and we had about a three-hour trip down to Bavaria. That's where we were heading, to his family. And he just went on and on, and digging, and what's wrong, and really got mad at me that I couldn't. And I felt so sad inside. I felt pain inside.
Right.
And it turned out it turned out into a big, big, big argument, and we got to Bavaria to his family, and it ruined the trip because of his digging. So that's why people should know, hey, when the partner, they should have that sensitivity, when your partner is hurting, and even if they're not saying anything, you can see that they're hurting. Shut up.
Right.
Shut up.
Right. You have to, I mean, I personally would say, hey, something along the lines of, hey, I see you're, you know, hurting really bad. When you're ready to talk about it, I'm here for you. And this way, the person knows that you know that you're picking it. Because sometimes if the guy doesn't say anything, it's, well, what's wrong? You can't tell that I'm mad, you know? And it's like, well, yeah, I did, but I didn't want to say anything because you were mad.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a big thing between couples. And somebody who has a healthy feeling about themselves, they should know. But anyway, that wasn't the case. We're moving on.
Right.
There are a lot of things, a lot of scenarios. I mean, please. Intellectual boundaries.
Absolutely.
Intellectual boundaries, to me, I give very freely of my intellect, where other people can benefit from, in certain situations, especially building a business. Or it doesn't have to be necessarily related to a business. It can be related to personal growth. Sharing life stories is very important, where a lot of people say, why would I listen to somebody's life story? No, they don't get it. You can learn so much from people's life stories, how they lived their life and how they handled situations. I love it. So that intellectual boundary, you know, giving ideas away without charging. We do it. We do it from time to time, not all the time, but, you know, we do it frequently. We do it generously,
absolutely.
Too, you know?
Absolutely, because we want the person that we're working with to succeed. So we extend our boundaries to let them in, whereas other people, they keep that information close to the chest, so to say, and don't let very many people in, or at least not without, you know, big bucks. So, but yes, there's people like us that like to share it, and that's what makes the world go round.
Yeah, material boundaries. I have material boundaries.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that people have to set those, especially if, you know, they're tough economic times or uncertain times. You have to be able to adjust your material boundaries to not always need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most expensive this or the best that, you know, you got to pull yourself back sometimes and, you know, rein that in. But at the same time, I know people that are so material boundary conscious, you know, they're picking up the bottle cap on the street because they think, oh, I could put this on that bottle that I lost the bottle cap for. And it's like, come on, just buy a new bottle already. You know, it's a dollar. So, you know, I think it goes both ways. You know, some people overspend and over materialize, and then some people under buy. And then when they do that, they're really lowering their own quality of life because they're not, if they can afford it, you know, they should buy something that's decent and is going to work and not break down or come with problems or foreseen problems. But I think in general, material boundaries are also a big one. There's a whole bunch of boundaries that we have to manage on a day-to-day basis, it seems like.
Yeah, I think, well, my dad had material boundaries. He wouldn't spend any money on himself because he had my mom who bought him whatever he needed. And he wouldn't give anything to anybody either. So he stuck to it. He was good with it. So the money just stayed with him. And I think I got a little bit from him where what I don't spend on myself, I certainly wouldn't spend on others. Now, I have to kind of say, I have to make exceptions with my grandkids. It doesn't always work out that way, you know? So so it's a kind of depending on a situation. I'm frugal with everything that I do, and I think people should go the frugal way more than you know, spending the money. So look what happened in the past. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
In the past 2.5 years.
I was going to say I was kind of raised the opposite, but yes, go ahead.
In the past two and a half years, people said, oh, we couldn't work, and that's right, we couldn't work. But you know what? The government really helped many, many people. They've had unemployment, they had extra amounts of money coming in, and so forth. And some people that were more in the lower income category, they stayed home. You know, they were home, and they made up to really make money. So, I'm glad this time is over. You know, I really am. But people don't need to go out and spend all kinds of money, new T-shirts and new suits and all kinds of stuff. I was happy for 2 years.
Right.
We didn't have to go out. We didn't have to have suits on.
Right.
So you saved a lot of money that way. You didn't spend it by not spending
it.
Right. You know? So,
right. Well, I know that you did the right thing, but I don't know that quite everybody did the right thing with their money, but that's a whole other topic. But, we know you did the right thing and you made it last. And you benefited from a very bad situation and they were able to help you. And that was, and that's great. So myself, I was self-employed and I didn't get quite any of the benefits. So I just had to keep pushing through. And luckily for me, in my business kind of picked up during the COVID times. So I think it kind of was a balance for everybody.
Right. We have maybe 2 minutes left. No, we don't. One more minute before we have to go for a break. So a break in those boundaries arises when your partner disrespects, ignores, or isn't aware of those principles or personal needs. So I think we need to communicate no matter what boundaries, even sexual boundaries, but we won't have enough time to go into it. We'll save that for another show. So, Bob, I'd like you to stay tuned, and we're going for a break. And after the break, Julie Winter is going to join us. So stay tuned.
Fantastic.
Great.
Okay.
Return the sender. Return the sender. I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote about it. Return the sender. Address unknown. No such number. No such song.
People around the globe are experiencing hardship and tremendous pain. The Fuller Foundation, Inc., a nonprofit organization, believes that in order to give hope for change, we must actively participate in the process of making the changes we want to see in the world. The Fuller Foundation, CT.org, provides assistance to the homeless, disabled veterans, and assists the elderly and unfortunate find stability. The Ukrainian people are in our hearts and are in tremendous need of support now. But your in-kind support is needed immediately to fund the Ukraine program and other programs. please go to the website, thefullerfoundationct.org, and make your donation today. thefullerfoundationct.org. For volunteer opportunities, contact T. Fuller, President, at 203-703-8202. 203-703-8202. Thank you.
Pets are such a comfort no matter what we're going through, but when pets have tough times, the Connecticut Humane Society is here for them. This is Heidi Voigt of NBC Connecticut, and your support can change a pet's life. Let's clear the shelters and keep pets in loving homes. Visit cthumane.org.
Stream WICC 600 anywhere. Wherever you go, we go. Go to WICC600.com and click on Listen Live, powered by the Connecticut Lottery.
It's Howie and Ken from Spectre Furniture and Mattress Gallery, Main Street, Ansonia, celebrating over 132 years in business.
Spectre's recliner trade-in sale is finally here. You can't trade in your in-laws.
But you can trade in your old recliner to get free removal. That's right, free removal when you buy new. Only at Spectre Furniture.
Lazy Boy recliners, all on sale.
Trusted for over 132 years.
Spectre Furniture and Mattress Gallery, Main Street, Ansonia, SpectreFurniture.com.
And thank you for shopping local.
And now back to Life Talk on WICC 600. Here's Marietta.
It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me, my darling. Be mine.
Welcome to Julie Winter's World. Julie, well known internationally as a brilliant psycho-spiritual therapist, channel, astrologer, and author of DancingHomeBook.com, available on Amazon. Julie is sharing her gifts and talents, answering your questions in times of economic stress and uncertainty. Welcome, Julie Winter.
Good evening, Julie Winter. How are you?
I'm fine, Marietta. Good evening.
Good evening.
Boundaries. As a therapist, one of my favorite topics. I'm going to be reading from my book called Dancing Home. And the two characters are Sue Ann, who is a supporting character in the book, and Theo, who has a cameo appearance and is very important at the same time. Both Sue Ann and Theo have just separated unhappily from their respective spouses. They've been at a concert, and Theo invites Sue Ann to come to his apartment. Sue Ann knows they are headed toward his apartment. The thought of being approached sexually frightens her. And she is aware of the disparity between her feelings and her actions. But that isn't necessarily what he's up to, she thinks. The cold slips under her coat and skims her bones, rests in the torn places inside her. Even if it is, I can say no. I would certainly say no. Memories of Richard's crazy rage mixed with sex is lodged in her nervous system. She can feel them there, vibrating and fierce. She notices at Theo's apartment there are photographs that are clearly not from the United States. Well, she says, these are beautiful. I've never been anywhere much. Embarrassing. Ingrid and Bart and I, all from Iowa. All from families that never travel. Maybe in the service, some of the men did. I didn't see the ocean until I came here. My husband was going to take us to Europe, but it didn't work out. The understatement of the year, she says more softly. He says, aware of her sadness as it pulls at her eyes and sighs in her voice. Would you like to take a hot bath? It would warm you. Water's comforting. This is an old East Village apartment, so they are in the kitchen. And the tub is in the kitchen. Oh, no, no. Oh, listen, I'm in this odd situation. You know, I don't want to have sex with anyone yet. No, not anyone. I just left my husband a month or so ago. It was very bad. Bad hardly covers it. She feels stupid getting herself into this. Just foolish. I wasn't offering sex, Theo says. Just a hot bath. I have had some recent troubles of my own with a lady. She considers the oddity of this moment. He seems sincere, simply quiet, and caring. So, this piece is about their boundaries. Duane recognizes her boundaries. Theo recognizes his boundaries. He too is in pain emotionally. So I want to tell you about working with anger. When your boundaries are violated in some way, you are likely to feel angry. First, you have to know that you are entitled to have boundaries. And for women, this is more difficult than men. Then you have to recognize what your boundaries are. And then you have to have the courage to speak up when they're crossed. My dear friend and colleague, Nancy, taught me this technique. If you are going to talk about anger, how to proceed. Most of us do not know how to work with anger. We didn't see it in our homes. Certainly we don't see it in the world. And there are techniques to use to work with anger in a way that is caring and effective. So characterologically, I tend to be the kind of person who is very direct. I want to talk to someone about something. If I'm angry, I'll say, okay, listen, we need to sit down and talk. I'm feeling angry. Nancy, who has been a therapist as long as I, said, that's not the best way to do it. If you're going to tell someone something that's difficult about anger or anything else, you need to back up. You need to back up. And you do what I call a little storytelling. Well, you know, I've been thinking about aspects of our relationship and the things we say to each other. And I've really been wondering about them. And there are things I'd like to discuss. So by the time you get to the end of that, the other person's nervous system is already prepared. You haven't just dropped it on them, is already prepared to hear you, or anyway, prepared that you are going to say something about your anger. Now, this is a technique to work with anger effectively. Of course, both people need to be willing to commit to the technique. And the people in this story, the spouses from whom they are separated, probably would not have been candidates. And this is how it goes. Instead of saying to someone, I'm really angry that you left your socks on the floor in the bedroom again, you come from your own feelings. That's the beginning. and not in a, in an accusatory way. You come from your own feelings. So you can say, I notice when you leave your socks on the floor in the bedroom, I feel angry. So this is about my feelings. It's offered kindly, but clearly. It's not accusatory. It's not accusatory. And then you can say, so I'd like to make a request of you. Is that okay? Now the person, we hope, agrees. If they don't agree, you have to back up and try something else. And my request is that you put your socks in the hamper when you're done with them. Are you willing to negotiate that? And then the other person can respond. Well, okay. All right. Okay. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to negotiate that. That sounds okay to me. And then you offer the other person appreciation. You say, thank you. That would make a big difference to me. Thank you. So what you notice about this is, number one, you're off the blame axis. Blame axis is where you accuse the other person, as I did at the beginning. You say, or you go into what's called always and never. You always leave your socks on the floor in the bedroom. You never clean up after yourself. And those are two surefire ways to make things worse. So you come from your own feelings. My feeling is, what I notice is I feel distressed when you leave your socks on the floor. This is, you think this is a minor example. You know how many people have argued about this? Coming from my own observations about myself. Then I make a request. So my request is, would you be willing to put your socks in the hamper? And we negotiate that. Then I ask if we can negotiate that. Then the other person can negotiate or not negotiate. If they are not willing to negotiate, you can say, well, what would you be willing to negotiate? Now, it does mean both people have to agree to be in this kind of conversation. And more or less willing, get off the blame axis. When we feel angry, our tendency is to blame someone, sometimes ourselves. If you take blame out of the equation, you then have the possibility of having a conversation that's kind-hearted, truthful. You're making a request. You're making a negotiation. If it doesn't work, you ask, are you willing to make another kind of negotiation? Most of us have grown up in families where anger was not handled well. Either people yelled at each other, blamed each other. A friend of mine says that his mother used to give him the silent treatment, which for children is a truly terrible thing, to have a parent go silent. Because we never learned. We didn't learn from our families. Probably we didn't learn in school. And looking at the world has not been, has not offered an example of ways to deal with anger. There's a tribe in Africa, and I can't remember where, but we used to teach about this in my training program, Helix, which trained therapists, when we worked with anger. So when someone in the tribe was angry and acted out and was accusatory or did something unkind, the tribe's idea was that that person was in pain. some kind of emotional pain. And they would put the person in the center of a circle, and people would gather around and hold that person, not physically, but emotionally, with kindness, with the idea that if they behaved that way, there was something out of alignment. There was something in that person that was hurting. And therefore, the person acted in an angry way. So we practiced it in Helix. We practiced this negotiating technique. The great Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh has a slightly different negotiating technique to manage anger. It's a paradox, manage anger in a peaceful way with no blame, by taking responsibility for your own feelings, not going into always and never, offering a conversation, a negotiation. It's not a difficult, if you're willing to do it, it really works. The first time I tried it with my husband, we got to the end of the discussion and he said, well, that was really different. And I'm telling you, it is. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie. That was Julie Winter, the author of DancingHomeBook.com. Julie is a psychotherapist, and we will see her. We will talk to her next week. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
And we're back. We have about 8 minutes left in the show, Life Talk. Yes, you're tuned in to Life Talk. May issue of HealingMindMagazine.com. I'd like you to go to the HealingMindMagazine.com. It is out now. And there are several articles that I'd like you to look at, depending on your interest. But do you know how to process gained expressions? Well, you start painting. I actually learned that from this lady. It's an interview with a homicide detective, Sabine Brouwer, in Berlin. She's a wonderful artist. And she uses painting to process her gained expressions. It's amazing. Well, first of all, what a job that is. And she's been in that job for over 30 years. Anyway, very interesting interview, very nice paintings. So go to the HealingMindMagazine.com and check out other articles. We Rise and Shine by Lifting Others. I wrote that article. I love it. And it's so true. The 10-Minute Meal Guy that was outstanding. This 90-Second Rice Cooking and More. He writes really nice articles. And I brought a pack of Knorr pasticides, chicken flavor, with noodles. And they also have rice, as you know, as everybody knows. And you know what? It takes 7 minutes to cook this, the rice. And he does it in 90 seconds. What do you think about this, Bob? Rice in 90 seconds. Hello, Bob, did we lose you?
I must confess, yes, Marianne, I'm here. I'm sorry, I was having technical difficulty.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I was just talking about... Yes.
Okay.
Did you hear...
I actually did use the... I used the website, actually, just about a week ago and looked up the article and got some really good quick meal ideas. So I'm a big fan. You know, I've got to say that. And 90-second rice, that's amazing because I remember... My mom would try to cook rice, and it would burn every time, and it would you would get one good scoop out, and the rest was ruined, and that was after an hour or whatever of soaking it and this and that, the other. So, hey, 90-second rice, it sounds like a really good deal.
Okay, yep. Sounds good. For also, sure. Check out other articles on travel, health, and finance, and there's so much more, and also very beautiful, inspirational quotes and tips. So, also, if you like to advertise, info@healingmindmagazine.com. So that was all with the announcements. I loved Julie Winter tonight, and especially when she talked about the negotiation part, and I said to myself, oh boy, you know, with the right. Socks and I'm toothpaste, I'm thinking, and I said, you got to negotiate about,
sure.
You know, she's so right, and how how tough that is. It's so hard.
Right, and of course, the toilet seat is the number one between men and women in the household. So if you can just get over that one, you'll be in good shape.
You know, Bob, if I have to pick...
Yeah, she nailed it.
Yeah, Bob, if I have to pick up your socks every day and put them in the hamper, I would really get ticked off. Yeah? So,
Of course. And when she was saying that story, when she said, well, and if they don't want to negotiate, I'm thinking, well, if they don't want to negotiate, they're not going to be in this house much longer. So we could negotiate yourself right out the door.
Yeah.
So, hey, we all have options in life. Okay.
Oh my
and
God.
Again, you have to set boundaries. You have to set the boundaries. And if your partner is not even willing to negotiate, when you come to them in a nice, calm way, the beautiful way that Julie laid it out there, which was, like I say, she nailed it. If you don't respect that, then you just need to leave, as far as I'm concerned. You know, because if you can't work with that, then you can't work with anything. So I think she said exactly perfect.
You know, I know of at least two or three situations where the people there in their mid-70s, almost 80, and they got together and they have a nice relationship. And I wonder how people are at that age where they had all their life to learn about many, many things. And if they still deal with the toothpaste and the socks and the underwear and who knows what else, I don't know. I should interview some of the older people.
I was just going to say, by that age, you don't care about the socks anymore.
You don't think?
you're happy to have company, somebody to talk to, and if the guy leaves his socks on the floor, you just kick him under the bed and he'll never see the socks again. So, you know, I think at that age you learn a few tricks. You know, you pick up the socks and some people just throw them away. And then after a while, the husband says, where's all my socks? The floor must have ate them. I don't know. Where'd you leave them?
I don't know.
They'll learn. You know, they'll learn one way or another.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's...
You got to be creative, though, when you're in a relationship.
Oh, you do. It's not easy. And, let's just leave it at that. You know, I said earlier, self-esteem is the most important asset a person can own. And it's so true, because when you have good self-esteem, you can show up anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
Building self-esteem in young children, we can really help. Check out our website, kmareducation.org. That's spelled like Kmart without the T, kmareducation.org. Also, self-esteem for adults. Learn how to value yourself. So contact us for a consultation, 203-505-3660. That's easy to remember. Also, we're going to be back next Tuesday with the topic boredom. I found that very interesting. I said, how can that be interesting? And as I immersed myself into the topic, boredom can help us achieve more, with a question mark. Yes, absolutely. You will be surprised. I don't want to give away too much, but it's so true. I never even thought of it. How can I talk about boredom? You know? So,
right, it sounds boring.
How would you like to wrap up for the week?
I just want to wish everybody a great week and, you know, set your boundaries. Think about
the socks under the bed.
How you let people kick the socks under the bed. Exactly. That's the saying of the week.
Thank you, Bob. You're great. Thank you, Rich.
You're very welcome, Amanda.
Okay,
thank
and
you,
everybody,
Rich,
good night. And a good week.
And audience, take care.
Okay. Yep.